to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
I'm Dan Hill.
I'm Jenny Hill.
Let's get it going. Two, episode 8, No Bed of Roses. Air date, October 27th, 1993. A whole lot happens. Let's get into it.
I don't get why they named it this, why they named this episode No Bed of Roses.
Well, let's think about how that term is used. Like, it was No Bed of Roses. So, like, it's not easy?
Maybe I don't understand what that means.
Whenever I hear it, people are like, oh, yeah, well, it was no bed of roses.
Like, it wasn't.
Like, it wasn't pretty.
Okay.
Like, well, maybe, like, how they got there or something. Like, it's not easy.
Okay. So, we open at Allison and Billy's apartment. And Billy is looking over a pamphlet, like a travel pamphlet, about Santa Barbara and the Channel Islands. And he wants to plan this big weekend getaway for he and Allison to have this romantic little trip.
Yeah, he's tripping on it, like, real pressed over it. Like, oh, this is going to be great. And they can, like, go, we can do this, and we can skydive.
Stay in a bed and breakfast and make love all day.
That sounds like the worst.
Oh, and
I would rather do anything else.
All the while, Allison is like rushing around, putting on her earrings, getting ready for work. She's kind of like half listening to what he's saying. And she, after he's like launched into everything they're going to do over this weekend, she's like, oh, Billy, I've got to work all weekend. There's no way I'm going to be able to get away.
She's like, I got to give Steve all my attention.
Yeah, and so Billy is not too pleased to hear about this. I mean, he already started setting the stage last episode that there is some kind of jealousy brewing, and he is not happy that Allison is spending so much time with Steve, and he's like, why do you have to be with him all the time? And she says, well, he's, you know,
like,
my first account. Like, this is my first real client, and I really want to knock it out of the park, and I get that. I mean,
and in a relationship, dude, you can't, like, you can't really fuck with work. Like,
well,
I mean,
when it's this, when you're just boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, you're boyfriend and girlfriend, and it's like, look, I gotta work. Like, don't mess with me. This is my first account. It's like, Billy, you're holding Allison back. You're holding her back.
Well,
and like, jealousy is never a good look, bro.
I agree.
Like, it's just
really not.
Yeah, like, you get so self-conscious and like possessive. It's just not a good look for anybody.
So Billy tells Allison that he did get a 3-page color spread in Escapade magazine for his Bryant Hotel article. So he wanted to celebrate that success as well.
In his porno mag?
Escapade! So, although they won't be going to Santa Barbara, they do make plans to have dinner the following night to celebrate.
Yep, and then Allison is like, power suit, off to work, like, I gotta go, I've got my helmet hair on.
Her hairsprayed lion's mane helmet head. Why are they doing this to her?
It's like she lost a bet.
Like, Courtney Thorne-Smith is not an unattractive woman.
No.
She's very beautiful.
Yeah, she looks great.
But this haircut and the way that they're styling her is so unfortunate.
I want to watch the special features and find out, like, from the hair and makeup, like, well, we were playing a gag on her.
She did lose a bet.
It's like, for 300 episodes, I got to wear my hair like this.
Oh, God, it's so bad. So she's off to work, and then we're outside of Melrose Place with Amanda, and her dad rolled, like, I guess they're, like, around this beautiful Avanti car. Had you ever heard that before?
I don't even remember the style of the name. Well, I just remember it was dope.
It was a beautiful car.
Really nice car.
And her dad is telling Amanda how he just acquired it, and it's a reproduction of an Avanti original, whatever that is, mm-hmm. and that he wants to open a shop in L.A. where they can reproduce this type of a car, but he just needs a head mechanic.
Hmm. Who could be of service here?
And at that very moment, Jake Hansen walks out as he's going to a job interview.
But not before Amanda is all like, "Oh, hello, Daddy. How are you? I hate that. Like,
hi, Daddy.
Daddy. Like, if you are over 25, maybe lose the daddy. Otherwise, it just sounds sexual.
Does it?
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like, ugh, what? Like, hello, Daddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
for her, she's supposed to be this, like, self-sufficient, power, yeah. Like, stop groveling over your dad.
So her dad has the opportunity to meet Jake, kind of establishes that he's in the mechanic industry and compliments him on his car. And he says, oh, is that a reproduction? And the dad goes, nope, 100% bona fide original. And then Jake walks away and Amanda's like, well, Dad, I thought you said that it's a reproduction. And he's like, yes, darling, that is just what I'm trying to get out to you. It's all about how you present things to people. You tell them one thing with confidence and they'll believe you. So it's like,
and he's like, remember that, sweetie.
It's like, so you're basically just telling your daughter lying with confidence is the way to get ahead?
Sound a lot like a guy I know named Billy Campbell.
Maybe that was a missed opportunity. Billy and Amanda.
Just lie, lie, lie.
Yeah, so then Allison comes out and she's late for... She's going to work really early, actually.
And Jake has to, like, head off to...
Yeah, Jake's already gone.
He's got to go to a job interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Allison comes out and she's like, I got to get into work. My boss is a real tyrant. And Amanda's like, you're going in so early. And she's like, yeah, got to go. And then that gives Amanda her cue that she needs to start getting ready as well, because she does not want anybody to think that Allison works harder than her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, if anyone at the office starts thinking Allison works harder than me, I've got a problem.
So we then go over to D&D, where Allison and Steve McMillan are deep in a conversation about how to advertise for...
this stupid computer. Like, yeah. Guys, this is a 10-minute meeting. Like, and you've had it, like, 15 times already.
Meanwhile, Amanda's on the phone with Jake, pacing around in the office, which I thought was really weird that she's taking, like...
And rude.
Yeah, like, personal calls, like, oh, great, you got the job. Let's celebrate over dinner.
And I didn't get, like, why would Jake call her at work? Like, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're definitely not there yet on, like, work call, like, hey, Amanda, I got the job.
It's weird. I agree. So when Amanda gets off the phone, they're kind of going over different pitches. And one that Amanda really likes is using a superhero to pitch the product.
Dumb.
And then Allison is like, you know what? I think we need to go simple. No superheroes, no gimmicks. Why not feature Steve McMillan himself? Just straight shot of him saying, this is the guy that created it. It gives the product a personal feel, a human touch. And that's what computers need, is a human element. And Amanda's like, nope, horrible idea. Get off of that idea. We're going to move on. But then Steve stops Amanda and is like, actually, I think it's a great idea. I'd like to kind of explore that a little more with Allison, if that's okay.
And she's just like, great. I'll leave you guys to it, since you guys seem to be on the same page. Peace.
So Amanda leaves, and then Steve is like, wow, she's pretty competitive. And then Allison says, well, you don't know the half of it. But then that prompts Steve to say, well, perhaps we can talk about it over dinner sometime.
Yep, first little advance.
So, I mean, I think there's been a little flirtation between the two of them, but this is the first time that he's come out to be like, I'm interested.
And Allison is down.
Yeah, you can tell that
she's
like a little uneasy, but then she's like, oh, I like the idea of going out with a guy like this.
She is into it. And, like, this guy's perfectly cast because he is the anti-Billy.
Yeah.
He's established. He's not clunky.
He knows what he wants.
He knows what he wants.
Yeah, I agree.
He's legit.
We're now at the hospital, and Michael is walking the halls, and Kimberly comes up, and she's like, Michael, you have to save me. Please help. And us as a viewer are like, well, what's wrong? You've got to save me from this horrible tuna casserole in the cafeteria. Please, Michael, take me to that Italian place. I just can't keep eating this horrible food.
And he's like, Kimberly, you know what? I just can't. I've got so much work to do. He's really neglecting her.
And he says he's got some paperwork that he has to go through over at the old apartment, referencing Melrose Place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to tie up some loose ends so he can spend some more time with Kimberly being in the present. So he leaves her to have her tuna casserole in the cafeteria, and he is off to Melrose Place.
Yeah, he goes sneaky all through the Melrose Place complex. And then he's looking around. He's really, really making sure nobody sees him. And he just sort of like tiptoes upstairs, knocks on the door.
Apartment number 7. And who lives there?
Good old Sydney Andrews.
Yup. Sydney is the newest tenant at Melrose Place, and she's taking in lunchtime gentlemen callers.
And she's like, hey, thanks for coming.
Yeah. And she still has that sister spunk about her.
Is this where he got a payphone call?
No.
No.
That's later on.
That's later on. Okay.
So, yeah. So he's all like, hey, give me a glass of water. And he's looking out the window. He's very, skeptical. Did anybody see him coming in?
But immediately starts undressing.
Yeah.
Taking off the tie. He's like, let's do this.
Let's get down and dirty.
Starts unbuttoning his shirt. He's like, we fucking now. I got like 20 minutes. And then Sydney is talking to him. And she's all like, oh, sorry. My house is a wreck. Oh, did you see my bed? Look at this stuffed animal. I'm just a little kid, blah, blah, blah. And then, he's just like, yeah, let's get down to business.
And then she does, too. She's like, you bring protection?
Yeah, did you bring protection? And he's like, of course I did.
And they're off to the races. We're now with Robert and Jane, and they're walking down probably Melrose Avenue. And Robert asks Jane to join him on a weekend trip to Catalina on one of his friend's boats.
When we were originally watching this back in like 2008, do you remember Robert at all?
Quite frankly, I don't remember.
I don't remember this storyline one bit.
I don't remember a lot of stuff that happens. It's very, a lot of this is like brand new to me.
Yeah. Robert is totally new. Do not remember this.
But I like him.
Yeah, he's cool.
I like Robert a lot. I like him for Jane.
He's up there. He's not as good as Keith, but he's up there for top guest.
Excuse me. No one, no one will touch Keith Gray in my book. I mean, you got to do a lot to top him.
Keith.
At this point, I mean.
But he is a top 3 gentleman caller. Of a tenant.
Yeah,
at
he's attractive. He's nice. He's likable. I'm down with him.
Yeah.
So he asks Jane to go on this trip with this other couple, and she is very hesitant. She's thinking, they're moving a little too fast, and it's just an entire weekend together. And she tells him up front, I don't know. I'm not really comfortable with this. But then he just keeps prodding her and trying to talk her into it. And we leave them with a really strange long shot on them kissing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we needed to it's not just one long shot. It's several angles of them kissing.
Maybe they were like, these are all perfect. Let's use every single one.
But it was like, okay, now that we have 45 seconds of them making out, thank you. Next scene, please.
Off to the next.
Yeah.
So what happens next?
So we go to Amanda and Jake, and they're at dinner at her place. And he's kind of letting her know about how the interview went. He got the job. She asks, are they paying you what you're worth? And he's like, well, no, but...
Which is fucked up.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Dude, you never ask people how much they make and how much they're going to make.
Okay, I know you're...
Unless they're like... Unless they're very close family and you don't care about that
You're
sort of thing.
You're really weird about that. But no, I think a lot of people are a little bit more cavalier about their incomes and their... Especially if you're a friend, they're like cool with disclosing that information.
No, if you do not share how much money you make. Sorry. That's not a conversation you have as an adult. You don't just tell people how much money you make.
Well, you heard it, folks. From Dan Hale's lips to your ears. This is a rule you cannot break.
It's rude. You don't know who you're going to offend. You don't know who you're going to... I don't know. It's just... You don't talk about it.
Okay, I hear you. You don't approve of this.
I don't.
And he discloses that he still owes Joe $15,000. And that he wants, you know, to pay her for it.
And Amanda's basically, like, it's fucked up. Like, Jake's like, yeah, I'm the manager. I'm excited. Just having this job is good for me. Like, it's good enough. And she's like, nope, this is terrible. Blah, 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 blah. This is stupid. You should be making way more money. You're a great mechanic. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, fuck off. Like, I hate it when people do this. Like, you give them good news, and then they, like, they spin it to, like, this sucks.
I have to agree with you there.
It's not cool.
It's like, okay, you know what? You're there celebrating that Jake got a job, so you should really be celebrating that. But she does turn it around and says, you know, you really should be working with my dad. He's opening up this shop. It's a perfect opportunity for you. He will pay you what you're worth. And so Jake then is like, well, what's going on with us? And Amanda says, I don't know, but I kind of like taking it slow. And that prompts Jake to be like, all right, then I'm going to go down to my apartment. Good night.
And you know why Amanda is so keen to get Jake to get a job and give him money?
Because she wants him. And
I think because deep down, subconsciously, she knows that her dumbass burnt down his bike shop.
I don't think she knows
and
that.
And she feels like she needs to repay him.
I don't think she knows that. I think she is a conniving person, and she sees an opportunity of a man that she could potentially be with, and there's no way that she's going to be with a guy that is, like, just scrambling to make ends meet. She needs to be with somebody that's, like, her financial equal.
You don't think there's any...
I don't.
Any piece of her mind that thinks, like, well, I was there, and then the shop burnt down.
How could she?
I don't know.
And she had no awareness that when she picked up her purse that it made the torch fall down. No awareness.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting theory, but I disagree. So as soon as Jake leaves her apartment, she picks up the phone. Hello, Daddy. I've got a business proposition for you.
She's like Daddy Warbucks. Daddy, my friend needs some money.
So we then jet over to Jane's house, and it's the next day, and presumably the day that she is supposed to leave with Robert to go to Catalina. So we find out that she's like acquiesced and she's given in, and she's packing her bags, and she comes across a luggage tag that says Mrs. Mancini. And this brings up some pretty
How long have y'all been divorced? And it was messy. So, like, why are you still sentimental?
But no, here's a good question though. Why is she jumping into another relationship just out of getting divorced? I mean, I get it. It's kind of like rebound. Mm-hmm. You want something fun to take your mind off of it. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I think she should really go with her instincts that are telling her it's too soon. And that's what she tried to tell him. So he shows up in his little cable knit sweater, like a little sailing sweater. Yeah. Dan hated it.
He looked like, it looked like a Donald Duck sweater. It looked like a sweater your grandmother would knit you.
It looked like country, early 90s country club
set. It looked
set.
Like garage sale country club.
I mean, but back in the 90s, it's like that white cable knit and short shorts and boat shoes. I mean, like that was like the uniform of like country club cool.
It looked terrible. He looked disgusting.
I wouldn't
Robert,
go that far.
How dare you
I
show up?
I thought he looked cute.
How dare you show up looking like that?
Oh my gosh, you have a lot to say about the fashion of Melrose Place.
I do. I really do. I'm against it.
Okay. Well,
and Allison's shoulder padded freaking power suit.
Okay.
She looks like a linebacker. Oh my god.
So Robert shows up to pick Jane up to take her to this Catalina getaway. And Jane is like, look, Robert, I know you're probably going
to
think.
He shows up. He's like, hey, ready to go? She's like, well, I thought I was. I don't think so anymore.
I've been up thinking all night about this, and I just can't do it. I just can't. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I'm sorry. I can't go. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're all packed. Here's your suitcase. Come on, let's just go. And she's like, I can't. I'm sorry. And she keeps saying, you're going to think I'm a psycho. You're going to think I'm crazy. Like,
yeah, no, I'm not gonna.
I do.
You are crazy. I would think that this woman is insane. Like, clinically insane.
Well, he did really have to talk her into going, and but it's she like, was look, resistant
we're
all, to it.
We're going on dates. We're making out. We're doing it on a regular basis, and I want to take you on a trip. Like, that's not far-fetched. And she's into it. She's been into it this whole time. And then now, bags packed, ready to go, now you want to go slow?
So Robert's like, Jane, I wish you would have called. And she's like, I know, but... you know, I just feel like maybe we should cool it. And Robert's like very taken aback about this. He's like, Dee, are you saying you want to end this? And she's like, no, I don't want to end it completely. I just think I need to take a break. I need to step back. And he's like, you can tell he's upset. And he's like, well, fine, you know, bye. And he's out of there.
And does Jane work anymore?
She does.
I miss Kay Beacon.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, she would love Robert.
Oh, Robert. I love your cable knit sweater.
Bring your sweater over here. Where's Sydney with my donuts?
You know what? I think we should have a Kay Beacon appearance soon.
Yeah. And why doesn't Sid work with Kay Beacon now?
I know. She loved her.
She needs a job.
There's so many things. So many things.
Well, Jane, where is your ex-husband?
So Robert's gone. So we then see Allison coming into Melrose Place, and she sees Robert leaving without Jane. And
helmet hair is on fleek right now. God. It's like she's walking. She's like bounce walking with heels, like pop, pop, pop. Like anyone else's hair would be like bouncing too. Hers is like.
It's not one strand is moving.
It's like attached.
It is so bad. It's like, why?
She has, it's like, seriously, I said this in previous episodes. It's like when a cobra is like ready to bite you. It's like, and it's like those ripples on the sides of the cobra.
Oh God, it's so bad. I mean, we could have a whole podcast dedicated to how much we hate her hair.
It's like helmet snake hair.
Oh, God. So she goes to check on Jane. Oh, it looks like you didn't go after all. And she's like, you know, Jane, divorce is like a death. I mean, you need to settle. That's what Oprah says, at least.
Yeah. That's what I heard on Oprah. And like, Allison, you work every day. When are you watching Oprah?
Well, she does say, there's a guy at my office. I think you should date somebody that's not connected to this situation. And I'd love to set you up. What do you say?
I would say, hell no.
But for some reason, Jane's like, okay, sounds like a great idea. What?
Allison, has Allison set people up before or has she been set up?
I don't recall.
But, like, how, later, like, how would you think that this guy is good for Jane? That Allison sets her up with.
Worst idea ever.
It's really bad, guys. So we'll get to it. But yeah, so Jane immediately is like, oh, well, I was moving too fast with one relationship.
So let's jump into another one.
Yeah, we'll just date this other dude.
Good idea.
Great idea.
So we then go over to this new space that Amanda's dad is turning into this reproduction Avante shop. And his name is Palmer. Just so Palmer Woodward.
Palmer
just so
Woodward.
You know.
I call him Daddy Warbuck.
And he's going over with Jake exactly how the shop would run. And if Jake wanted to take the position that he would basically oversee everything. And the dad would hire the foreman. But Jake would have the flexibility to hire anybody else he wanted to work there. And that Jake would basically be responsible for ordering parts and yada, yada, yada. And then he ends this long soliloquy with, so you're dating my daughter.
And he's like, well, we're just friends.
Nothing is more important to me than her happiness. So here's the deal. I hear you're in a squeeze. I'm going to give you a $15,000 advance, $500 a week for 15 weeks, and then $1,500 a week after that.
But he says it like this. I'm going to give you $15K up front, 515 weeks, $1,500 after that. And me and Jenny had to rewind
we had to rewind it like
10 times to be like, wait, so is this a good offer?
We had $15,000
up front, $500, then $1,500.
It was like an auctioneer. It was like, what? But then after dissecting it, $1,500 a week? That is legit today.
$500 for 15 weeks after the $15,000 up front.
Because the $15,000 up front is to pay Joe back.
Right.
And then he would be taking it out of his salary that would originally be $1,500 a week.
Right, but $500, so like he's not going to see the $15,000. So he's going to
get it up front.
So right, but he's going to give it straight to Joe. So he's got to live
off. But back in the 90s, $500 a week was great.
He's got to live off $500 for 15 weeks.
That's $2,000 a month, and then he's going to get $6,000 a month.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, for 90 standards, that's awesome. Anyway.
And then Jake is like, remember I said this? Jake hates jobs. And the thing he hates more than jobs is money.
He's allergic to it. He's
can't
like,
stand it.
Hey, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not in the market for a handout.
I don't appreciate your charity.
Yeah, it's
like, Jake, how do you live? How do you survive, dude?
You could have been a model and made that, like, just by being on camera.
Not a piece of meat.
God, he's so dumb.
Jake, make me a latte. I don't do coffee. Jake, sell me a fake-ass painting for $3 million.
No, Jake, all you have to do is paint a painting and we sell it to somebody. Nope.
I'm not a scam artist or a co-kid. I'm out of here.
God, Jake, you're so dumb.
Jake, you could be, like, the richest dude on the show by now.
No, not
feeling it. He is not into money.
So he leaves. He storms out of there and he declines the offer.
Now it's off to D&D and Steve is second guessing this plan that he and Allison have talked about a gazillion times. And there's like 15 gabillion photos on the table and he's like, I'm just not seeing it. I'm not seeing the thing. I'm just not. I don't know who's going to do this until he comes up on...
Miraculously.
Yeah, finds a photo and he's like, wait, I like this one.
Whose is this? I mean, the angles are great. The lighting is perfect.
Allison just knows by looking. She's like, oh, I'm glad you like that. It's Joe Reynolds.
She's a friend. And he's like, well, I'm glad that you're glad. I want to work with this photographer. Of course.
And then, like, she's smiling big, and Steve is like, you have a really great smile. And then he lunges at her face with his hand and touches the smile.
Touches her mouth.
Yeah, touches her mouth.
Okay, who in the real world, who the hell would do this? You have a beautiful smile, and then reaches out and touches your face? That is so freaking weird.
It's very weird.
I mean, it's almost weird to be like, what a nice sweater, and then feeling it, like, to someone that you don't really know.
Yeah,
or
that's okay.
Or I like your hair, and, like, putting your hand through it. But this but is next that, level. Yeah, it's weird.
Even that, like, in today's society, that's harassment.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just run your hand through somebody's hair and be like, love your hair. Especially in a work environment.
This is touching someone's smile.
He's just like, love their smile. He's just like reaches out. And it's weird too. Like it's not even like a cupped hand or anything. It's like three fingers. It just like juts out at her. I would be nervous. I'd be like, hey, what the fuck? What's up with you, bro?
It is really weird.
You better check your space and respect mine. But yeah, that is harassment.
So, okay, we see on Allison's face that she is surprised by this. And he follows this action up by saying, do you think it's possible that you and I, outside of work? And she's like, Steve, you know I'm seeing somebody. And
see, Allison wants it so bad. Because she doesn't say it again. She's not like, I have a boyfriend I'm in love with that I live with. She just says, I'm seeing somebody.
Okay.
That is so minuscule.
I don't know. I don't know. And she was just like, I just, you know, I can't. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I get a little clumsy around women.
That's like you being like, sorry, I have a roommate. You'd be like, no, I have a husband. I'm happily married. Right? Well, you'd be like, I'm happily married. Thanks. Right?
But she, I would say that, but she isn't happily married. She's like, has this relationship she's with, like, Billy for the last like month.
And she's not even getting child support. She should.
Okay. So anyways, he says, sometimes I get a little clumsy around women. It won't happen again. Let's set up a test shoot with Joe.
So we're back at Jane's apartment. She's finally doing work. Signs that she's still employed. And she's working on her designs.
Jane's designs.
and so Sydney knocks on the door. And I thought that they were like completely no talky-talky.
But they're sisters, okay?
So she comes down. Yeah, she knocks on the door. And Sid, she like just waltzes in like her normal self, just like oblivious to reality. And she's like, hey, what's going on? Nah. And then she sits on the couch on Jane's like design sketches. And she's like, Sid, come on. What are you doing? She's a bull in a china shop.
Yeah. And she's, Sydney's trying to hang out. And Jane is like, Sydney, I have a lot of work to do. I'm like laying low. And she's like, yeah, you didn't go on your little boat trip with your boyfriend. And she's like, yeah, I decided I've got way too much work. So if you please, I would like to continue working. And Sydney offers to help her. She wants to hang out.
She's like, no, Sid, no. I just can't babysit right now.
And Sydney gets very upset about this.
Light switch. This scene is the angriest we've seen Sydney Andrews.
To date. Yes, that's true.
She goes nuts. She's like, babysitter? Babysitter? I don't need a fucking babysitter. I'm an adult.
You're a real mess, Jane. And I just came down to make sure that you were okay. But you know what? I'm seeing somebody. And he's really hot. And he knows what I need. And it's not a babysitter.
Boom. And you know what that reminded me of? Her little rant? Remember those milk commercials? Where like a little kid would be talking to an older kid. And like as they were talking, they were growing. And they would be like, they start off as like a little kid, like a 3-year-old, and by the end they're like a hot like 20-year-old. And the person would be like, you know what? I'm drinking milk. And then when I get older, I'm gonna be big and I'm gonna be strong. And then by the end of the commercial, they're like, they look awesome. And then the other person is like,
I have no recollection.
You don't remember those milk commercials?
No.
Guys, I'm telling you, those happened. They were real. They were like a gray backdrop. And like one person was just like, I don't care about the other person. They were like already grown up. And then the little person was like, guess what? When I become your age, I'm going to be big. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be awesome. And then like as that conversation was happening, the actor kept changing to like someone bigger.
Okay,
and stronger,
wait, no, I awesome. Get what you're saying. But then the other person would be like, ooh, now I date you.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Yeah, the other person would be like, damn it.
They started I missed like it. A kid?
Yeah.
Of course the other person's not going to look at them like that.
It's probably a
They're
D&D.
A fucking kid.
It's a D&D produced commercial.
That is really weird.
It just reminded me of that so much because she's like, guess what? I got a boyfriend and he's hot.
Okay. So we leave that scene and we go to Allison getting home from work. She's very tired. She's taking off her shoes. She's taking deep breaths. And then Billy comes in and he does the Captain Morgan stance on the couch.
Yeah. He's fired
like
up.
Hard. Like he comes in and really like throws his leg up and like puts it on. He leans his elbow onto his knees like, so I guess he forgot about our dinner tonight.
And she's like, oh, crap. And he's like, yeah, remember our Chinese French place? What? What the fuck kind of place is that? Have you ever heard of a Chinese French place?
I have it.
What are you gonna have? Like,
I'd be into it.
You gonna have like General Show's baguette sandwich?
Sounds great.
Ew.
I think it would be awesome.
That would be disgusting.
And you know, the one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of Melrose Place storylines are all about missing dinner dates. Like, yeah. A lot of them revolve around that.
It's like, oh shit, I forgot.
It happens a lot.
Someone needs to go back in time, give these people a cell phone, and then like this show won't happen.
Yeah, then the show would be over. So he again is very jealous that she's spending so much time with Steve, and she's like, "I'm sorry, I spent all my time working on Steve's account. That by the time I got what
he doesn't want to hear it."
Yeah, and then she says, but by the time I got done with all of his stuff and got my other work done, you know, it was like past dinner time. I'm just so tired. And he and Billy is like, you know what? I'm tired of hearing this guy's name. You're not putting any time in with us. It's all about Steve. And then
super jelly.
And she's like, look, Billy, this is like not about you. It's about my job. This is, again, my first big account. So I've got to give it all I've got.
You've got to understand. You've got to understand, Billy.
And Billy goes, this is not about your job. It's about your libido. Which I was like, "The what?
Like, bro, what kind of books are you reading?"
Like, that is not even applicable here.
If the web was big now, I'd be like, did you just Google that? Like, you're just Googling words and using them?
How is it about her sex drive? Because somebody, like, she's literally just doing a job for this guy. And then he's like, and of course, Elsa does the, oh my God, Billy, you're jealous?
Dude, and in our Facebook group, people hate Allison. People are like, yeah, I hate her right
well,
now.
Well, she's really not likable.
Yeah, they really went away from her.
I used to really like her in season one. She was one of my favorite characters. And now it's like I'm over her.
She's like, meh.
And so he's upset. He leaves and goes for a walk.
Now, we're at Jake's apartment.
One of the most interesting scenes of the episode.
Of the series. We're at Jake's apartment. He's home watching his,
stories.
15-inch television. And Amanda comes down and she's like, what the fuck is up with you, Jake? And he's like, I don't want your handouts.
So they get into like a little screaming match here, and he's just like, look, I'm not anybody's charity.
He's like, I can't be bought.
Yeah. And she's like, you're so dumb. Like, I'm giving you a job. My father thinks you're worth it. And he's like, your father doesn't know my work ethic or my work at all. And then he says, you had Billy on a leash. Allison's scared to death of you. And the whole building thinks that you're Queen of Sheba. Well, you know what? I'm not buying it. And Amanda goes right back over to him. He's like, oh, okay. Play the moody, like, rebel
moody
guy.
Moody rebel.
I'm not buying that either. So try it with somebody else, Jake.
Then he fucking, like, grabs her and he's like, hey, listen up. And then
you're really pissing me off.
And then, and she, like, she's got, like, she just like opens her mouth on him, like.
So they are like inches away from each other, and this is like really intense. And they're in a fight, but you can see like the sexual tension is building.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says to him, "If you're gonna kiss me, don't do that pent up macho anger thing. I don't like bruises." And then they just start going at it.
And so then she like pulls his hair back, and he's like, ah.
And then he starts like kissing her back, and he bites her, and she's like, ah!
Then, like, they rip each other's shirts open. He picks her up like a caveman and throws her on the couch, and then, like, this is it. This is when they consummate the friendship.
Hook up for the first time. So much for taking it slow.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and call this hashtag fight sex. So if you like this episode, tweet us hashtag fight sex.
Love it. So it's presumably the next day because the mullet pool guy is out there skimming the water.
Yeah. And did you notice that dove by the...
There's
mullet pool guy skimming the pool and then a dove sitting outside of the...
Jake's front door.
Jake's front door.
What an odd choice. Why would they be like, you know what? maybe a little white dove to signify that they're falling in love. What is that?
And the actors, the people who work on the show, like the producers, like, hey, did you get that dove? Did you get that dove in that shot? We need that dove.
And everyone's like, why do we have the dove?
Can you get props out here? Get that dove?
So stupid.
Real dumb. Love dove. It's a love dove.
So they're
doves represent love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it supposed to be like, we're in love now?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So, okay. And so Jake and Amanda are laying in bed, and Amanda's like, by the way, you owe me $200 for that blouse. And I was like, yuck, that blouse cost you $200. It looks like a colonial woman's undershirt.
And
disgusting.
And then Jake's like, you owe me $3.95 for my t-shirt.
Because she rips his shirt off, too.
But this is the problem. Like, Jake, he's too passionate. And he's too much into it that it turns people off from him.
Yeah, because he's like, what are we? He keeps asking her, like, what are we doing? It's like,
stop asking.
Why do you want to label it so bad, Jake?
And Amanda is just like, look, this was fun. We just did it. And you're so more sure than Billy ever was.
Oh, yeah, that's what she said. She's like, gosh, you're just so much more. Billy was so unsure about everything.
I could just imagine clumsy ass Billy, like, can I put your arms over your head? Can I kiss your sides?
Oh my, can I kiss your sides?
hashtag can I kiss your sides?
Oh my god. Okay, so she said, well, you got to think about how we got here. I mean, we were in a fight and it led to this. And then he was like, oh yeah. And then she says, if I remember correctly, you were being childish and I was making sense. And then they kind of like have this like fun little like banter back and forth. And it's kind of like, okay, we're just friends. Nothing. We're just kind of like going to go down this path and not put any labels on it.
Now we cut to the hospital. Michael and Kimberly, they are discussing a very weird procedure that just went down.
Yeah, they walk into the break room and Michael's like, wow, Dr. Shaw, you with that infant, the huge saw cast cutter with that tiny little leg, the parents going over the edge, almost dying.
And he uses terms like zip and pop. And he's just like, zip and pop.
And we're in the clear. Like, he's basically congratulating her on doing, like, a really good job with removing a baby's cast on their leg.
Weird.
And I'm like, you're a sociopath. What the F is wrong with you that you're like, oh, I derive a sexual thrill from watching a little baby getting their cast cut off and their parents being like almost on the verge of tears because they're so worried.
And Kim,
Michael's a freak.
He's of course. And Kimberly's like, you know what, Michael? Wow, like you just seem like so much happier. And I'm thinking, yeah, because you're back to like cheating. You're getting your thrills off.
Yeah, he is a psycho.
He needs it.
He really, really is sick in the head. And she's like, look, we're overdue for at least a cup of coffee. Go grab a cup, sit down with me, let's catch up, and then
beep 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 beep.
He gets a page.
He's like, oh, I don't know this number. Hang on, I gotta go call it. So he goes to the payphone, calls it back. Who is it? It's Sydney. She talks to him on the phone. She's like, hey, I just got a phone. Just got a new phone.
You're the first person I've ever called.
And she's like, so, can you come over? And then, of course, Kimberly can only hear one side of this call, so Michael has to make it seem like he's being asked to come over and sign papers.
For the divorce.
For the divorce, like lawyer stuff.
How much papers does he have to F and sign?
Yeah, he's like, geez, Kimberly, you know, I really got to get over there, sign these papers, just get it done. These lawyers, man, they just,
I can't, it's out of my hands, gotta go.
Somehow that works.
You know, and he is such a psycho that, like, the minute he hears Sydney's voice, he's able to just, like, cover it up.
He can turn it off,
Yeah, he has no shame, he has no feelings for anybody but himself. He is such a freaking jerk.
And like, man, one season ago, he was so like helpful and nice. And
yeah, remember when he saved that kid's life? last season, and he was like crying and like he's like, I can't believe we saved that child's life, and now he's like making jokes about kids almost like dying. Like,
remember when he saved
legs dismembered?
Remember when he saved a woman from being domestically abused?
Look at
and
him
like
now.
And like jeopardized his like work by by telling on him and shit. It's crazy.
Yeah, so he's off, and of course Kimberly is disappointed, but you know, what can she do?
So now we are at the shoot for this stupid computer campaign with Steve McMillan, and Joe is taking some shots of Steve, like just sitting with the computer. Well, it just looks dumb.
Well, at first she asks Allison, what's this guy like? And Allison is like, well, and she starts getting like kind of blushy and like kind of schoolgirly.
Like, he's
like,
the best.
He's smart and he's funny and he's got that chin and cheek thing happening. So I don't think it's going to be really difficult to get some really great photos of him. And then Joe was like, oh, okay. Well, I like she can sense that there's some kind of attraction on Allison's part. And she's like, oh, no, God, no. I mean, you know, I've got Billy and everything. It's not like that. So she lets her know that it's all good. And then that's when Steve comes out wearing the nerdiest hat.
Very with his, geeky.
It's like comp. I forget what it's called. Like,
who cares?
Computer something.
No one gives a shit.
And Joe's like, okay, with that like school picture, like bluish background, I just want you to lean on that stool. It's like,
and he takes
so 90s.
And like he's being distracted by Allison in the background, and Joe's like, hey, Allison, why don't you like fuck off so that I can like get some good shots? And then Allison has this little like team meeting with her briefly, and she's like, I'll leave, but last time, the pictures came back naked when I left. And Joe's like laughs it off. It's like, don't worry, we'll be fine here.
And then when she walks away, Joe looks at Steve and goes, all right, now why don't you get that stick out of your butt?
And then he's like, yeah.
And he just starts laughing and she gets some good shots, but weird.
Joe's awesome.
Yeah, Joe's cool. I like Joe so much.
Welcome back, Joe. She's hasn't been around.
Yeah, after the breakup from Jake, it's been really minimal Joe. So it's good that she's kind of a central character again. So we're back over to Sydney's place, and this is post-coital.
Yep.
So they're putting their clothes back on, and
Sydney's like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if like we hung out in public?
And
it's like, no, bitch.
No. Michael's like, actually, no. Well, maybe we can go to like a heavy metal club at like midnight or something. He's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah, that'll be really cool, Sid.
And all the while, he's looking out the window and he sees Jane swimming laps, and it's middle of the day. And he's like, since when does Jane like swim laps in the middle of the day? And Sydney's like, well, you know, ever since getting divorced from you, she's on this health kick. She's like takes swimming on her lunch break, or she runs. And I was kind of getting the impression that Michael was kind of like, you know, like nostalgic for her or something, like looking out the window and being like,
oh, I thought he was pissed. Like,
well,
God,
no,
damn it, I can't leave until she goes in her fucking house.
He is.
Yeah.
And then he says that, but I was getting the sense that he was like watching her being like, oh, that's the one that got away. But then he's like, God, I can't leave until she's gone. And then he's like, is she still dating that, you know, whatever, that attorney guy? And Sydney's like, I don't know, I think so. And he's like, God, I hate to see her happy.
Well, you're doing it to her sister. So when she learns about this.
Hey, you are really, yeah. You're
really laying down the groundwork for unhappy.
Yeah. So now we're back at the Avante new, I want to say dealership or like place where they're going to put these cars together. And Jake is back there trying to apologize to Palmer, Amanda's dad, about the way that he reacted to his offer. And Palmer is like, business is about trust, okay? So you're the manager now and you're going to be getting this job. So it's established that Jake is going to take the job with Palmer to do the Avante reproductions.
Mm-hmm. Yay! So now, Jane is on the blind date that we mentioned that Allison was going to hook her up with. And this guy is terrible.
He's freaking awful. Firstly,
he's like a slapstick comedian, almost. I got to figure out this guy's name because he's got to come from some sort of stand-up background, but, like, he is just, like, string bean, like, telling, like, ba-dum-ts kind of jokes.
And he's, like, all he wants to talk about is Allison, like, well, I mean, you got to tell me, this, like, white bread farm girl thing that she does, that's got to be an act. And Jane is like, well, actually, no, she's my friend, she's a very nice person. And he's like, well, she really knows how to get ahead in the office. I mean, she's, like, the second-hand man to Amanda Woodward, or that's really, really impressive. And Jane's like, okay, great. I don't really, like, want to talk about Allison this whole freaking time.
So this date is not going well. Lo and behold, Robert walks in to the bar.
He's at the bar, coincidentally.
And if I was Robert, I'd be like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, you didn't go on this trip with me, and
now you're on a date.
The day that you're supposed to be on this trip, you are on a date with another dude.
But, like, non-jealous Robert, the very opposite of Billy, just gives her a look like, who's this weirdo?
And Michael, for that matter. Because yeah. Michael, once he does have the girl of his choice, I'm sure if Jane or Sydney or Kimberly had any kind of attention from any man, he would be jealous.
He'd be like, grr.
He wants his cake and eat it, too. He wants to have all the women he wants, but they're not allowed to be happy.
Yeah. So Jane sort of gives him eyeballs and is like, mouths like, help me. So he comes over, and I think, me and Jenny, I think we both thought he was going to come over and be like, hey, back off, bub.
But
instead, he has this, like, great thing where he like, pretends that they're brother and sister.
Robert is so cool. After this, I'm like, I freaking love him. He was like, Jane, what are you doing out? And Jane's like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, God, I can't believe this. Mom is going to be so mad at you. Do you know that she's got kids at home? Kids that she hasn't seen for days? Just
and the
drops
guy,
them off at our mom's house.
And the comedian guy is just like, what? Kids? And you could almost hear that cartoon, like, beginning to run sound. Like,
yeah.
Bleep, 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 bleep. And he's like, I gotta go.
He's like, I'm sorry, I don't get involved in family disputes. And he just is like, bye, good luck. And he runs away without even, like, paying the bill or offering to pay for that. Because he of course, ordered the, like, most obnoxious, biggest drink that, like, probably comes with a souvenir glass. That thing was probably $20, and he just left it on her to pay.
I'm sure Robert paid for it because he's awesome.
Because he's a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah. So they laugh. They're like, oh, man, that was so bad. Will you take me home? And Robert's like, sure, of course.
So we then cut over to Jake walking up to Joe's apartment door, and he knocks on the door, and he's not there for small talk. He's very straightforward. He hands her the check, and she asks, what's this? Here's a check for the money that I owe you. And Joe is trying to be warm and cordial to him, like, look, Jake, I don't want your money. The only reason I got that money from my husband was for you, so you could live out your dream, and I don't want to be paid back. And Jake is very firm with her. He's like, I don't want your money. I cannot be bought. I don't want to be in debt to anybody.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care what you wanted for me.
Yeah.
You take this money. He grabs her hand. She's like, ow, Jake, you are hurting me.
He gets very physical.
And he, like, shoves it in her hand. He's like, you take this
and
money.
And he's like, no, she is, again, no, you probably borrowed it from a bank. I don't want you to be in debt over this. And he was just like, I don't want your money. And then he, like,
hates money.
But it's just kind of like,
he hates it.
Too, I mean, I get that. I mean, of course, you don't want anybody to be able to lord that over your head. And not that Joe is the type of person that would do that. I understand his feeling to want to get out from under that. And he has the means to pay her back. It's like, just take it. Just,
yeah.
I mean, you can tell that this is really important to him. And that, you know, this was the reason, one of the sole reasons you guys broke up. Because you brought up this money that he owed you. And that turned into a whole other fight.
Yeah,
and
so it's like officially done.
Just, like, take it. But, so he shoves it into her hand and he's gone.
Yeah. And she's, like, super sad.
Robert and Jane are walking back from the bar, and they're outside of Jane's house. And Jane asks Robert, well, why didn't you go to Catalina? And he says, well, Jane, because it's pointless without you. I mean, it was a couple's trip. Like, why would I go without my girl? And she said, you know what? I thought you were mad at me when you saw that I was out with this other guy. And Robert says, well, I was, which I'm glad that he admitted, because it shows that he's, like, kind of human. You know, they're supposed to be on this date, and here she is out with another dude on a date.
Yeah, and she's so wishy-washy. I can't deal. You just don't know what you're going to get with her. She's so back and forth. It's like, dude, you are crazy.
Well, Jane, I mean, I think that this really, too, establishes that I keep wanting to call him Peter. That Robert is a great guy, and even though it's really fast after the divorce, that he is a good person and a good match for Jane. And Jane is kind of giving him those cues, and he's like, look, if you need time, you got it. Catalina is not going anywhere. And Jane says, you know, I really appreciate you, Peter. I have never been in a relationship before that I can say that to somebody.
She says, your lack of jealousy is appreciated.
Yeah, which is great. And then she says, if you're not too busy tomorrow, I'd like to treat you to dinner and a movie. He agrees, so things are better with them.
They're better now. So now we go to the hospital. Michael comes back to the hospital. I'm assuming this is later after he got done with old turning out Sydney. And he walks in on the clubhouse, the break room, where Kimberly is just sleeping away. And he sits down, and he's looking at her, and he whispers, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so this is kind of a tender moment. You see a little bit of remorse from Michael Mancini, which you never see. He's usually just so cold and calculated, and it's all about him and meeting his needs. But you can kind of see that he's looking on at Kimberly just sleeping. She's so innocent. She's stuck by him for so long, and she loves him so much. And you can tell that he's feeling regretful of what he's been doing with Sydney.
Yeah, it all happened so fast for him, and now he's sort of just wrapped up in cheating again. It's just like again and again and again, and I'm sure he just had a breather and was like, damn, what have I done?
So Kimberly wakes up, and Michael's like, look, I've been thinking, Kimberly, I've had all of this anger toward Jane, and I really hope that I haven't hurt you. And she, I'm sure, is very happy to hear this, because there is a lot of shit that she's had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I love you. And she says, I love you too, which is...
Might be the first time.
That we've seen, yeah.
Yeah. So they share a little moment.
So it's presumably the next day, and Amanda and Jake are coming back from a breakfast, and they're talking about what they ate. And
they have, like, motorcycle helmets, and...
Amanda has really weird jeans on. What's up with those jeans? Oh, they're so bad.
But they're clearly, like, together, and, like, finally we get it. We get the Joe confrontation.
So Joe's coming out of her apartment, and she sees them walking in the courtyard together. And Joe is like, oh, okay, I get it now. I see. You're done. You want a clean slate. That's where you got the money to pay me back. You want to break it off with me completely so that way you can start over with somebody else. Great. And then she looks at Amanda, and Amanda's like, look, Joe, nobody's trying to hurt you. And she's like, oh, no, no, I get it. You know what? He is great in bed, Amanda, but he's really limited in the conversation department.
Ouch.
Have fun.
And Jake's like, Joe, are you done?
Oh, yeah, I'm done. I am really, really done this time.
Done with you.
Yeah. And she's out of there.
She is out of there.
So she goes up into her apartment. She's, I mean, obviously distraught over this.
She's upset.
Punching her pillow on her couch, almost crying. The phone's ringing. She lets it go to voicemail. But, you know, back in the day in the 90s, you could hear the message that someone was leaving on your machine.
And you could pick it up and interrupt it.
So that's what she does. She hears it, and it's Steve, and he's leaving a message. Steve McMillan,
mm-hmm.
leaving a message. She jumps up, answers the phone, and Steve, she says, like, sorry, Steve, I'm not going to have your photos ready until a few days. And he's like, oh, no, 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 I'm calling because I want to ask you out to lunch.
Then she starts, like, maniacally, like, cry laughing. And she's like, oh, no, no, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at my life.
I've been there, though. I've been there where you feel like, oh, shit, this can't get any worse. Or, like, I'm, like, down in the dumps. And then all of a sudden, like, you know what they say, like, when a door closes, a window opens, like, and it happens in quick succession of one another.
And she's just like, yeah, sure, I'll go out with you, whatever, it's cool.
Now, we go down to Allison and Billy's apartment, and Allison goes to Billy, Billy, can I ask you a huge favor? And Billy's like, sure, as long as it has nothing to do with your job or anyone at your job.
Like, whoa, super supportive, bro.
And he's like, she's like, actually, would you take me to the beach today? I really just want to go and spend time with you. And if that means going to Santa Barbara or getting some lunch at Malibu, whatever you want, I just want the day to be with you.
And she gets a phone call.
Yeah.
And Billy's like, hope it's not work. Because if it is, I'm going to be mad. And she picks it up and it's Joe. And Joe lets Allison know that Steve asked her out on a date. And Allison is clearly like, oh, great.
Oh, awesome. Yes. Go. Sounds great.
But she's hurt.
Internally, yeah. It's like, this dude just asked me on a date like yesterday. And now he's moved on to my friend.
Yeah.
So she hangs up and she goes to Billy. So Steve just asked Joe to lunch tomorrow. Do you think you're done with the jealousy now? And Billy's like, yeah, I think they'll make a great pair. Steve has money and Joe loves money. Great.
And it's like, man, why? I get it. He's like Jake's crony. But like, why has he labeled Joe as like money hungry?
Probably because of her past with.
Yeah, I guess.
And maybe Jake is always talking in his ear about like how she keeps lording over the fact that she loaned him money or something.
But Billy, he's just got pent up aggression towards her because she turned him down and kept calling him Bill.
Probably.
Hey,
yeah.
Bill. What's up, Bill?
And then, to that comment, Allison is like, no, Billy, it's not like that, okay? He's just mature is all. Mm-hmm. And Billy's like, what? And she's like, and she's all flustered. And you can tell, again, that little jealousy is poking its ugly head around in Allison's world, too.
Oh, yeah. So, Michael and Sydney are at the most secluded, secretive place that no one could ever, ever, ever find them at. Shooters!
Yeah. Let's go to a place where no one will see us and we can keep this under wraps. Yeah, nobody.
Not a single person at Melrose Place thinks that place is their like number one go-to bar.
Middle of the day, they're having lunch, and Sydney's commenting about how great it is that they can be out in the open. And Michael interrupts her and is like, well, Sydney, this isn't just like a nice little lunch.
Tries to drop that hammer.
We need to break it off. We've got to stop. And she's like, no, I can keep a secret. Jane doesn't know about us, okay? You can just keep coming over. It's not a big deal. I won't say anything to anybody. And he's like, no, I'm done. Where I'm not coming over for lunch. Do not come by the house. And she keeps protesting. And he just says, are we having a communication problem here? No, it's over. And then
Sydney barks again.
Crazy Sydney is unleashed again.
She's got a big old bite.
She's like, Michael, you are not leaving me. If you leave me, I'm one little girl that can make your life very uncomfortable.
And you can see it in Michael's eyes. He's like, oh, fuck.
And she
created a monster.
Turns on her heel and runs right out that door. And it's just like, this little Lolita is now out for blood. And if you don't give her what she wants, she's going to really get you.
He's like, damn it. And then we have the credits.
Yeah. A very strong ending.
Yeah. Great episode. So to recap, Michael dumps Sydney.
Amanda gets Jake a job with her dad and things heat up between Jake and Amanda.
Joe gets her 15 grand back and a date with Steve.
Steve first expresses interest in Allison.
And Jane is a wishy-washy weirdo.
Yeah.
And Billy is a jealous psycho.
So, 90s moments, what you got?
Well, I'm going to group these all in a package deal. Because I guess like between last episode and this episode, cordless phones became a thing. But everyone is on a cordless phone in this episode.
You mean cell phones?
just cordless in general.
Yeah, cordless phones, and Amanda has a cell phone.
Yeah. But yeah, those like flippy phones and like walking around cordless. The only person who still has a corded phone is Sydney and Joe.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone else, they're on that cordless kick. I used to dig cordless phones. When my family got them, I was, like, fuck yeah.
I can go in my room with this.
Think.
Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One big thing that stood out to me in the very beginning is that Billy was looking over travel pamphlets to go up to Santa Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really see that anymore.
I've got Allison's reference to Oprah.
That's a good one. The beanbag chairs that are in Sydney's apartment. Back in the 90s, I remember being in like middle school and being like, I need beanbag chairs, all colors. I just want beanbag chairs.
They're very comfortable. They are very comfortable.
Yeah.
I've got the saying, do you have protection? Did you bring protection?
No, it's still sad.
Nah, no one calls condoms protection anymore.
What do they say?
They say condoms. Like, you got a condom?
I have over at Amanda's apartment, she has this, like, wall divider, and it has a celestial pattern of, like, stars and moons. And that was another really big thing back in the 90s, like, having, like, suns and stars and moons and stuff on everything.
I've got, at the beginning when Amanda meets her dad to see that car, she's in, like these shitty biker shorts.
Those were bad.
Terrible.
Those were bad.
Terrible, man.
So this episode has a lesson, something that we can take away and apply to our everyday lives. Dan, what did you learn from this episode?
Well, I mean, I already know this, but someone watching this could learn, don't have sex with your ex's sister. It gets ugly.
Real quick.
Real quick, guys. Don't do it, man.
Good one.
That's not a good move.
Good lesson to learn. I learned from this, if you ask out every woman you see, somebody's going to say yes. So from Steve's perspective,
it's a numbers game.
Yeah. He just, you know, sees a new girl, has an interest in her, asks her out right away.
Why not? Why not?
Someone will say yes.
So now it's time for our favorite segment. Bitch of the week. Last week, Jenny, you thought that Jake was the bitch. I thought that Allison was the bitch. And with 56% of the vote, this was a close one. Jake was the bitch of the week.
Yes!
Guys, what do I always say? You don't mess with Jake. Jake is never the bitch.
In this instance, you do, because he was.
No. Well, you've spoken. He is. So, this week, Jenny, who you got?
Okay, this week I am nominating Billy Campbell as the bitch of the week.
Can't argue with that. Good job. He is the bitch.
There are many. I think that his preoccupation with Steve McMillan is just over and above. Like, come on, dude. You've got to understand, this is your girlfriend's first big account at D&D. There's a lot riding on it, and she's really needs to do a good job. And she's only been working on the account for, what, a week, if that? Maybe a couple late nights. They're in the phase now that they're taking photographs. It's going to be over soon. And he can't even handle that. Many, many times in the episode, if she's coming home late, he wants to do this impromptu, let's go off this weekend to Santa Barbara without even consulting her. And is like, we're going to go. And she's like, no, I can't. I have work stuff. And he gets upset about that and bent out of shape. And then she's like, she tries to make it lighthearted at the end because she realizes that he's getting a little fed up with her working so much and tries to come at him like, can I ask you a huge favor? And he's like, yeah, as long as it's not about your work or anybody at your work. I mean, coming at her like that. And she's like, no, I want to go to the beach with you. Let's spend some time together. And then instead of being happy about this and being like, great, he's like, oh, is this a bribe of some sort? It's like, dude, she's trying to make things better, and you're still holding on to this whole thing about, oh, you're not spending enough time with me because everything's me, me, me. It's just like, give her a break. If you had something going on with the you did have something going on with the escapade, where of course you included her, but you had to lie about it. So, Billy, bitch of the week.
My bitch of the week is Jane. Jane, dude, you are so wishy-washy. You have no idea what you want, when you want it, how you want it. You're stringing along Robert, who's a good guy. You decide to go on a trip with him. You're packed. You're ready to go. Then you don't want to go? God, that is so fucking bitchy, man. So bitchy. Then you welcome your sister back into your house. You're talking to her. Then you tell her that you're babysitting her. Man, that's a really bitchy thing to say, too. Like, I mean, you just can't get it together, Jane. After this divorce, you've been a wreck. And now you're bringing other people into it. You get set up on a date by Allison. You bring this guy, this fucking weirdo, to a restaurant. You have dinner with him. And then you don't want to be on the date anymore because you see your other guy. So you bring him over to, like, trick this new guy to get out of this date. Like, you're just abusing people left and right. It's not cool. You're a bitch.
Strong argument.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's up to you guys. You tell us on, are you doing Facebook?
No, yeah, I'm posting the poll in our Facebook group and on Twitter.
So,
because if you don't have Twitter, you can still get in on the voting. It just means I gotta do some math. Let us know, guys. Let us know. That'll be up on Tuesday after this episode releases.
This episode is named No Bed of Roses. However, if you would rename it, Dan, what would you call it?
I'm renaming this one for obvious reasons. Jake hates money! Every turn he gets to give it away, throw it away, or just not have it, he does it.
Mine is within that same vein. I would entitle this Can't Buy Me Love.
Can't Buy Me Love!
Awesome. So, let's see. What are we thinking for upcoming episodes?
Predictions? I desperately want... I don't necessarily think this will happen because this one aired, October 27th? But I want a Halloween episode.
That would be rocking.
That would be so cool. I love themed, like...
Me too.
Themed episodes of television was the shit.
Yeah, I love them too.
But it could be cool to have, like, a spooky Halloween party where they all get, like, fucked up. And
like, dress up and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be really cool. And I think that Alice and Billy are on the rocks. This is the wedge that splits them apart. Thank God. And I think the INS has captured Katya.
They're done.
That's why they haven't.
ICE has got her.
Yeah, they've got her. ICE.
Yeah, that's a nice observation there. I think that we are beginning a very tumultuous relationship with Jake and Amanda. I think we're going to see a lot more of this, like, hate sex and, like, fight sex and stuff, which is exciting because it's fun to watch. I think that Jake is somehow going to mess it up at the shop with Palmer, and I think that's going to be a contentious thing between he and Amanda, that, like, he is going to be coming between her dad and her. I think Allison is gonna dump Billy for Steve. Good. I think she is going to be really jealous of Joe and Steve's relationship, and she's gonna think, this is a better guy for me, and she's gonna pursue Steve, and Steve might drop Joe, and then that could also leave us with Joe and Steve. So I think that that's going to make a wedge between Joe and Allison, and I think Jane and Robert are good.
And we got one review from Reality Raven. Says, Melrose and Michael Mancini give me life. I feel like I'm back in 1997. Every time I listen to this epic Thomas Calabro, if you read this, call me. I love you.
Oh, we love him too. We do. All of his psycho tendencies.
Thank you so much for the review. And thank you all for listening. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com. Search for groups. Type in Melrose Place, Melrose Pod. You'll find us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. We're on Patreon. If you feel like supporting us, patreon.com/MelrosePod.
Thanks for listening, guys. We love you very much.
We love you.
Bye. We love you. Love Smut.
Yeah, 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 yeah.